Well, welcome to the online service, and it is Mother's Day, and I got a little Mother's Day message and the pastor's thoughts and prayers. I entitled my message this week, The Voice, in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Now, I think most of us know that there's a television program called The Voice. Well, that's not the voice that I'm talking about, but it's interesting to think about the voice. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30, New Living Translation says this. Now, this is when Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. It was now winter, and Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah. He was at the temple walking through the section known as Solomon's Colonnade. The Jewish leaders surrounded him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus replied to them, Red Letter Edition says, "I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is what I do in the name of my Father. But you don't believe me because you're not part of my flock. My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. So no one can take them from me. The Father and I are one." Wow, what a testament, right? People say, "Well, I don't know if that's Jesus as God or not." Well, he clearly told them who he was and what he was doing. And the sheep, really, you and I know his voice. That's really cool. Anyhow, I mentioned about the voice. And it was shown to, I watch it every once in a great while, but I'm not a follower. But it's been on television for 22 seasons. Now, the show is exciting, not only because of its fabulous music, that's why people watch it, and the competitive spirit and how they engage the crowd, but it also catapults everyday people who love to sing into the possible fame and stardom. It sort of gives them a way to get to what they love to do, and that's sing. Well, at the very least, it gives them a stage, a time to be in front of the entire country and a shot at something even more. Every week, hundreds of thousands of America gather around their television, and they get it with their phones or their computer to watch not just the singers, but the bantering between the judges and the reaction of the crowds. What do we love most as people? Think about that. These heartfelt moments when people's dreams come true. We all rejoice in that, especially when somebody's dream comes true. We're happy about it. And with tears streaming down their faces and ours, we celebrate with them, don't we? It's human nature. It's in a sense, I think it's their big moment is also the confirmation of our own hopes and dreams. The belief that anyone's dream can really come true. I don't know about you, but I am blessed, and I'm grateful that I was born in this country. I don't know why, but I'm grateful that I was, and I've been able to live the American dream, and there's a lot of people that have also. It's not a special kind of dream, but we all been blessed in this country. Well, I regress. The voice is that voice which stands out from the crowd, the one that's unique, heart-wrenching and moving and uplifts us with raw emotion and power. We're captivated by the voices that move us. That extra special voice lures us and memorizes us, intrigues us, engages us, and we become loyal to that voice and vie for that person to win. The voice, the winner isn't just a judge who picked a crowd pleaser and unanimously voted for an individual. You know, some of the voting and so forth are very similar to the way they do on American Idol. The one who has won us over with the beauty and renaissance of that amazing voice. You see, as the winner gets a shot at this long-honored dream, we dream along with them. Whether or not we ourselves can sing, and I think you've heard me sing, I would never be able to win anything on The Voice. But we live vicariously through the victories of the triumph and rejoice in the fulfillment of the dreams of others. This voice is our voice. That win is our win. Now, true renaissance is not just a matter of sound, it's a movement of our heartstrings. But it starts with the sound of a voice that's really just a medium of human connection. We as humans respond to each other's voices in a way that are much more powerful than the ways that we respond to many other sounds. Our pitch, our tone, our frequency all reveal something about what we are feeling and how we want to convey it. Scientists at Berkeley say humans can detect 24 kinds of emotion in just one human voice. We know that maybe is true because all of us talked when we were babies, or we talked to babies, and we speak in a language to them that they may understand, they may not understand, but we talk to babies. We can alter our voice to initiate the kind of a bonding tone, and we lift them up and we sing to them, and we pour our songs and hymns, sort of like an emotional reverence that spellbinds others and creates in them a similar reference and a little bit of reverence for the feeling of divine connection. We love to talk, and our voice is a sound that is created by movement of air through a windpipe and subsequent vibrations of a vocal cords. It's intricate, it's beautiful, it's a conveyor of expression and communication, and we are, in a sense, programmed to receive each other and bond with each other through the vehicle of our voice. So when our voices connect, our hearts resonate. How beautiful and how wonderful, then, that Jesus is a metaphor for God's call to us. His voice. Through Jesus' voice, we know God is there, and we can connect with God and communicate with God. We can enter into a relationship with God and bond with God through the vehicle of Jesus' voice. Why? I love this. As Jesus tells us, He and the Father are one. Jesus' voice is God's voice, the life-giving voice of the Creator Himself. All through Scripture, God's voice represents the powerful, creative Spirit that breathes life into all of creation and into our own very existence. We live because God's voice and breath fills us and animates us. From the voice that calls the water and the heavens into existence to the sound of the ram's horn, which is the shofar. Phil brought his shofar to church one time, and he blew it, and it was wonderful. The ram's horn, the shofar, calling God's people to prayer. You see, God's voice sends shivers up and down our spines and seeps into our bones because God's voice is hope, invoking and life-giving force that we recognize as both our source and substance. God's voice is comforting. God's voice is uplifting. God's voice is challenging. God's voice is beckoning. Somewhere deep down inside of us, God's voice resonates with us. It moves us to tears, pulls on our heartstrings, and calls us to follow. And we do. Praising and celebrating the victory of the Lamb, the power of the Shepherd, as we looked at in Psalm 23 as our Old Testament reading. But in our scripture today, Jesus invokes the allure of that all-powerful voice to describe the way in which his followers recognize him as Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the voice and the command of God. Jesus the sheep, those who are powerless and hopeless and voiceless, who seek identity and belonging through him, now belong to the heavenly fold of God. For they will adore his voice and follow him, even as he raises to his highest stature, as he sits at the right hand of God Almighty. You see, Jesus gathers the outcasts, the lonely, the downtrodden, the infirm, the marginalized, the lost, the scattered, the confused, and restores them to an identity, a meaning, a purpose, and a place. They listen to his voice, and he knows them. They follow him, and he will give them eternal life, is what the scripture says. Thank God for that blessed hope. No one is able to snatch them away, he said, because my voice is the very voice of God, resonating within them, raising them up along with the power and the promise of his voice. Dry bones to marrow. His voice is their DNA. And those without a voice, Jesus' voice is one they know as life-giving and hope-giving and dream-filling, a future establishing. They resonate with the beauty and the compassion and the gentleness of his voice. God's voice, Jesus' voice, is compelling and powerful. He moves us and encourages us. He uplifts us and he assures us. He heals us and comforts us. Wow, that's some of the promises that touch us with the power of intimacy of that life-giving voice. God's dream is our dream. God's plan is our plan, and God's promise is our promise. Even the downtrodden recognize his voice. They might not follow it, but eventually they will, because it's the peace that passes all understanding. And God's victory is their victory, and it all culminates through Christ our Lord, the voice of God. Hallelujah, praise be to God. And today, I invite you. You know, whenever we have a friend and we meet a friend, and it becomes a good friend, you know, we want to tell others about our friend and our good friend. So today, I challenge you to listen for the voice of my friend and your friend in your heart and in your life. So often, we spend all of our time talking. We do a pretty good job of that. Judy told me on our trip, you talk all the time. Let's just enjoy the trip and watch the scenery. And I said, okay, I'm not going to talk so much. The next thing she said, you're talking. And when we pray, we ask. In fact, sometimes we demand God's attention of our own wants and desires. And even though when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask that God's will and not our own be done. So today, this Mother's Day, let us listen for our future lies in the hope of God's mission coming true and God's voice winning over the tumult of the world. You know, we sing that song, Over the Tumult. A lot of people don't know what a tumult is. It's an old English word that allows us to get up over the rocks or up over the things that are blocking us. That's how God wins us over the tumult. So listen to the sound of God's voice in the wind. Listen to God's sound of his voice in your head. Listen to the sound of God's voice as you breathe in and out. Listen to the sound of God's voice through the whir of the fan and the rustling of the leaves on the trees. What God say, be still and know I'm God, and you will hear his voice. So let the voice of Jesus resonate in your heart and move you to a greater and a deeper faith. Then and only then will you hear the message that God has for you in this life. Only then you will know the excitement and the joy and the victory that Jesus has wrought on your behalf. Oh, thanks be to God. And I challenge in a prayer for all of us is that our heart may overflow with the joy and the knowledge of God. It's that personal relationship that we can have with God the Father through God the Son, and then blesses us with the Holy Spirit. It's something that's a gift, and all we have to do is accept it. Jesus is calling. Hey, I want to be your friend. Let me in. Let's go and have a relationship together. And have the knowledge and the joy of God in our hearts. So as we may sing in our own voice with the symphony, that's God's created spirit. We always say, well, I just make a joyful noise, and that's okay, because that joyful noise becomes a sweetness in God's ear. Well, I hope and pray that we continue on, and that everybody within the sound of my voice does have a personal relationship with the living God through Christ. But just for some reason, it's a simple prayer. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I haven't heard your voice, and I want to hear it. Come into my life and be Lord over it, and I am excited to be able to hear your voice in Jesus' precious name. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and we thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.